This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I've gotten a couple of emails, not as many as I would have thought. A couple of phone calls, not as many as I would have thought. About the upcoming United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. Have you heard about this? Well, like anything the United Nations does, they want to include everybody in the world, and they want to have a treaty signed by all the representatives of the United Nations to basically control the sale and trade of of arms. This is allegedly to, of course, keep guns out of the hands of terrorists. Terrorists like Mexican drug cartels and half the people in the UN. And seriously, half the members of the UN. And there is talk about having small arms owned by individuals included in this treaty for regulation by the United Nations. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. If you'd like to talk about that and share what you know. I've done a little bit of research on this, and it seems to me like the best coverage of this is done by the National Rifle Association Institute for Legislative Action. This is not new. It's new on our radar because we haven't heard about it. It's also new because the negotiations are underway. It's also new because the alarm has been sounded in this election year that this could actually happen. The treaty could be signed, and then the president's scheduled to sign the thing on the 27th of July, and essentially give our Second Amendment rights up to the world. The world body of the United Nations, which is true. But let me just briefly read a little bit from the NRAILA, from their website, a report that they have written. I'll try not to take too long and hit the high points. For nearly 20 years, the National Rifle Association has fought tirelessly to oppose any United Nations effort to undermine the constitutional rights of law-abiding American gun owners. Remember, I told you this was not new. That fight has grown more intense lately as the UN and the global gun banners, people who would gun bans, internationally around the world, have markedly stepped up their attack on our Second Amendment freedoms by including civilian arms in the proposed Arms Trade Treaty, Arms Trade Treaty. Let's call that ATT, okay, rather than say Arms Trade Treaty every time I read this. So we're talking about a treaty to limit the use of arms around the around the world. I keep saying the country. It's the world. The trade, monitor the trade by the United Nations, so forth. As called for in a resolution adopted by the UN General Assembly in 2009, a conference began this week before the 4th of July in New York City to draft the treaty's language. The United Nations Conference on the Arms Trade Treaty is one of the most serious threats to American gun owners in decades. The NRA will continue to maintain a strong presence at the ATT meeting, which runs through July 27th, and we will continue to champion the position that any ATT must in no way impact gun owners' rights. Talks about the beginning of the convention, very little action, but the anti-gun groups are present in force and are insisting that civilian firearms be included within the scope of the ATT. Addressing the conference on the 3rd of July, the day before Independence Day, the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Keep in mind where this is taking place. In the United Nations. Where's the headquarters of the United Nations? Everybody say it together. New York City. What country is New York City located in? Everybody say it. The United States of America. The UN Secretary, United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, made an emotional speech. This was Tuesday before Independence Day, the day before the country, this country where the UN is situated, celebrated its independence from the tyranny of England. Ban Ki-moon made an emotional speech calling for an arms trade treaty. He said it was a disgrace that there is no treaty covering conventional arms, the implication being the inclusion of small arms, and that the world is overarmed. He also called for strict national legislation to control arms. Meanwhile, Norway popped its little head up out of the gopher hole and made its opening statement and called for the scope of the treaty to include non-military arms. A direct call that civilian firearms should be included within the ATT. Thursday's negotiation, the day after our celebration of independence, got off to a very slow start and adjourned late. Some countries did make statements that illustrated the deep divisions in the assembled body, especially over the issue of civilian firearms. New Zealand. While the New Zealand delegates stated that the task is not to regulate the state's internal matters, such as conditions of domestic sales of arms or national systems of gun control or registration, the delegate from Mexico took the opposite tack, saying the individual's rights, meaning the Second Amendment, are not an excuse for products traded without controls. This statement continued Mexico's effort to blame its drug cartel problems on American guns. The Mexican delegate then went on to say specifically that civilian firearms needed to be included in the ATT. Included. Mexico. I'm thinking Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress for not releasing papers that reveal who authorized and who was in charge of and who ran the operation allowing 2,000 of our firearms to cross the border into Mexico without any regard for whose hands they were getting into and led to the death of our Border Patrol agent, Terry. Well, anyway, needless to say, in a joint position statement this week, French, German, British, and Swedish government officials said, quote, "We believe that an arms trade treaty should cover all types of conventional weapons, notably including small arms and light weapons, all types of munitions and related technologies." That's our buddies, our allies, the French, the Germans, the British, and the Swedes. Here's a little ray of sunshine. it is important to note that in order for any treaty to take effect, it must be ratified by two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. To ensure that ratification of anti-gun treaty cannot take place, the National Rifle Association has worked to get as many U.S. senators as possible to publicly oppose any arms trade treaty that includes restrictions of civilian arms. Last year, U.S. Senator Jerry Moran of Texas, a Republican, of Kansas, a Republican, and 57 other senators signed a letter to President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton reminding them that the Senate has final say on treaties and stating their unequivocal opposition to any treaty that would affect civilian ownership of firearms, challenge the authority of Congress to regulate firearms within the United States, or call for an international gun registry. Thank you, Senator. This echoes what NRA Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre said in a speech at the UN last July when he told delegates that the NRA would vehemently oppose any UN treaty that in any way restricts American gun owners' rights. And there's a video of the speech available on the NRA website. In March of this year, how many of you heard about this treaty up until last week or 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago? I'm sure you didn't see it on your evening news. In March of this year, Senator Moran introduced the Second Amendment Sovereignty Act, Senate Bill 2205, an NRA-backed bill that would prohibit the administration from using, quote, the voice, the vote, and the influence of the United States in connection with negotiations for a United Nations arms trade treaty to restrict in any way the rights of United States citizens under the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, or to otherwise regulate domestic manufacture, assembly, possession, use, transfer, or purchase of firearms, ammunition, or related items, including small arms, light weapons, or related materials. Last month, in June, during consideration of fiscal year 2013 state foreign operations and related programs appropriations bill, Senator Moran took additional steps to safeguard our rights and joined Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, in offering an amendment to protect the rights of American gun owners from being undermined by the proposed arms trade treaty. Now, look, I'm going to stop right here because a comment comes to mind. Why is this even a debate? Why is this even a debate? Why do our congressmen feel it is necessary to put in a stopgap measure? Shouldn't the leaders of our country, shouldn't the President of our United States understand our constitutional rights? Shouldn't he understand that this is a God-given right and a constitutional right for us to protect ourselves? The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What does that say to you about the current administration, the current President of the United States, the current Attorney General of the United States, the current Secretary of State? What does that say to you? The Tester-Moran Amendment, which passed by a voice vote, will block any taxpayer dollars from being used to advocate or agree to any provision that would restrict in any way the rights of United States citizens under the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, or that would otherwise regulate the domestic manufacture, importation, assembly, and so forth, use, transfer, purchase of firearms, ammunition, and related items. In a similar amendment offered by Representative Denny Rayburg, a Republican from Montana, was adopted by the House Committee on Appropriations in the fiscal year 2013 State Foreign Operations and Related Programs Thursday by a bipartisan vote of 30-20. That was on June 28th. On Friday, June 29th, U.S. Representative Mike Kelly, a Republican of Pennsylvania, and 129 co-signers sent a letter to President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton detailing their concerns regarding the negotiations of the ATT, saying in part, the U.S. must not accept an ATT that infringes on our constitutional rights, particularly the fundamental individual right to keep and bear arms that is protected by the Second Amendment, as well as the right of personal self-defense on which the Second Amendment is based. Accordingly, the ATT should not cover small arms, light weapons, or related materials such as firearms ammunition. Further, the ATT should expressly recognize the individual right of personal self-defense, as well as the legitimacy of hunting, sports shooting, and other lawful activities pertaining to the private ownership of firearms and related materials. As a gun owner, as a hunter, as a sportsman, I don't care if you only take that over and under double gun out of the case three times a year and head to the sporting clays range, the trap and skeet range, and you enjoy a day on the range. I don't care if you have a little .22 sitting behind the door to, you know, shoot varmints out of your yard. I don't care if you have a 12-gauge shotgun loaded with buckshot in your bedroom closet just in case somebody feels like they need to break into your house. I don't care if you have a 357 Magnum or a 9mm. I don't care if you own a 30-06 or a 270 or a 243. I don't care what gun you own for whatever reason. The president and the secretary Secretary of State should not be negotiating away your right to keep and bear firearms with a world organization, particularly the United Nations. And these senators and these representatives are right. They are right to be concerned. They are right to have legislation on the table. They are right to protect the constitutional rights of you and I and every other gun owner in this United States, law-abiding gun owner in this United States. Here's what you can do. Contact your U.S. senators. That would be Senator Barbara Mikulski and Senator Ben Cardin, and urge them to strongly oppose any U.N. treaty that in any way diminishes our constitutional rights. You can contact your senators by phone. Here's the number, 202-224-3121. Let me say that again, and I'll give you a moment to get a pencil and paper. Contact Senator Barbara Mikulski, Senator Ben Cardin at 202-224-3121. There's much written about this for those of you who care to investigate it on the Internet. I would start by, if you don't even know how to get to the NRA website, you can Google NRAILA. NRA-ILA. That will give you this information and much, much more. Later in the show, we're going to play an interview. We're going to play an interview that was aired on this radio station 2 days ago, Thursday afternoon, in the 5 o'clock hour. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. It's an interview conducted by Sean Hannity with Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association and John Lott, who wrote the book More Guns, Less Crime. That will be coming up. It's a lengthy interview. It's 15 minutes. So we've got to get a break in here, commercial break, and then we'll take a couple of phone calls, and when we get to the point where we need to run the interview, we'll stop taking calls and answering questions, and we will move on to the interview. Because I'd like to play it not only this hour, but possibly next hour, for so as many people as possible, this radio show, can listen to it and take action, form their own opinion, or whatever it takes, whatever your conscience tells you to do. But now it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, or a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. And you know what? If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in the freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. And Diamond Jim, a tagged rockfish, he's out there swimming around in the Chesapeake Bay. He's worth $20,000. If you catch one of those rockfish, striped bass, with a spaghetti tag in its belly, well, don't take that tag out. Call the number. You may just have won a $20,000 prize. And if it's an imposter, that fish is worth at least $500. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? I don't know. I am. What's in your bed? Well, your truck bed, of course. Protect your truck bed with a Linex Protective Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market. I've got one in my truck, period. You want colors for your truck or your heavy equipment? Well, Linex with the color-coded DuPont Kevlar will use your existing paint code, that's a little number found on your engine block, to provide you with the factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one in customer satisfaction. Now, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provides mobile service to your job site, too, for commercial and industrial applications. From underground holding tanks to horse trailers to your deck to secondary containment, styrofoams, plastics, they all need protection. You want to know more? Visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com or stop by. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, Bay I, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Now, don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoors and Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. Learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Linex of Glen Burnie, Linex, baylinex.com. Now more than just bedliners. Hey, you know, summer's time for picnics, family get-togethers, camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob, steamed crabs, and fresh tomatoes. Summer's cold, juicy watermelons. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm steam their corn on the cob with their crabs for a great family dinner. And if you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, I'd like to recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn, homegrown tomatoes are ready. There's squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans and cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupe. I had one of those the other day. Boy, are they good. And sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97, exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Call 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm, open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again is 410-969-8810. Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. It'll grow on you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on The Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
side. All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love, and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride.
410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We have time for one or two phone calls. Any comments you'd like to hear on what was just spoken to you? If you're a hunter who owns a gun, I can't believe the lines are not full. I cannot believe that there are those of you out there who listen to what I just read and have no concern about it whatsoever. That's the way it seems on this end when the phones aren't ringing. But hey, it's your administration. He's your president. They're your senators. If you want to continue down this path, don't act. Don't do a damn thing. Don't vote. Don't call your senator. Don't get involved. Don't be concerned. Personally, I'm doing my job. I'm going to the voting box in November. I'm telling you, I'm speaking the truth here. I'm telling you what is going on in this country. And if this doesn't cause the hackles on the back of your neck to raise up, if this doesn't get your attention, if this doesn't get your blood boiling, I don't know what will. I really don't know what will. Maybe it'll get your attention when somebody knocks on your door in uniform and says, sir, are you a gun owner? We're here to relieve you of your firearms. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. Look, people really need to realize how serious this is.
Thank you.
If this gets through, it is the final nail in the coffin of freedom in this country. That is not an exaggeration.
You're absolutely right, Greg.
This is not. And what they will do is they will have essentially a media blackout on this. You will not hear it. People need to tell everyone.
They do now. They have a media blackout now.
Right. And I'm not sure of the ratification if it goes to the House for this bill, but if it's just the Senate for such an international agreement.
It's two-thirds the majority. It's a two-thirds majority in the Senate of the United States. That's why it's important to contact the Senate.
Okay. Is it the Senate only?
Yes.
Okay. This is really dangerous. Something else that people need to realize is that an international treaty agreement is the only thing that will bypass, to my knowledge, the Constitution of the United States.
Correct.
It basically nullifies it.
Correct.
And that is why they want to get these bills through.
Correct.
Treaty agreements.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
That's it. It's done. It's toast.
That's right. No more Second Amendment. It reverses.
No more Second Amendment. No more Constitution. And the problem I'm concerned about this administration is, like this they did with the Supreme Court, they rammed it through. I don't know how much control they have in the Senate. 2/3, it sounds like a lot. It's not. This is the end of freedom in this country.
Thank you, Greg.
And everybody, and what I, the Mikulski and what's his name?
Cardin. Ben Cardin.
They are avid socialists. They are all for this. I'm afraid that no matter what, you tell them, and I would still attempt to do it, is that they're going to vote their way. And they're going to vote for it,
correct.
Unfortunately.
Correct.
I fear.
Correct.
I would still make the attempt, but people have to be aware. And, of course, they're going to try to ram this through before the election because they know that they're probably going to lose more seats in November.
I have a friend, Greg, who is so upset about this. He said, where is the outrage? And I agree with him. Where's the cry for a million gun owners with loaded firearms to march on Washington, D.C.? Where is the hue and cry among the gun crowd? Where is the concern among the sportsmen's organizations? Oh, hey, we're having a banquet. Yippee-skippy. We're auctioning off a hunt for waterfowl somewhere. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're having a 3D shoot. Big whoop-de-doo. Okay?
Well,
is this not overarching anything at this point?
Did they think Obamacare is a bad thing? this is their worst nightmare. It's nothing. It's a pimple on their face.
Thank you. All right, Greg. Appreciate the call, buddy. How many Gregs are out there? Or are the rest of you just sheep? Here's an interview with John Lott, Wayne LaPierre by Sean Hannity, aired on this air, WCBM, Thursday in the 5 o'clock hour.
So in the last month, about 200 countries, delegations from 200 countries, convene at the United Nations, and the idea is to come up with a treaty that is going to regulate international trade in conventional weapons. Now, the effort, which is supported by the Obama administration, has a very vocal opposition. Those of us that believe in the right of Americans to keep and bear arms, and those that don't want the UN to have control over our lives. Now, proponents of this arms treaty are arguing that, well, quote, inadequate controls over international arms markets result in armed violence against civilians by human rights violators, criminal gangs, warlords, and terrorists, etc. And they really are taking aim. This is aim, no pun intended, at the United States of America and our Second Amendment. Now, ostensibly, I don't think this is going to pass because you need a two-thirds vote in the United States Senate to make that happen. But the fact that the president, the very same administration that gave guns to drug dealers and gangs and killers and murderers and hostage takers and won't even give us information about it through the Fast and Furious scandal, is involving themselves in something like this as a means to take away your constitutional right. Anyway, to explain it in more detail here, we have John Lott. He is the co-author of Debacle and the greatly expanded third edition of a terrific book. It's called More Guns, Less Crime. And Wayne LaPierre is with us, the executive vice president and the CEO of the National Rifle Association. Gentlemen, welcome back. Good to talk to you both.
Great to talk to you.
All right, Wayne, let me start with you. Obviously, the NRA is taking this very seriously here. I don't think it has a chance of passage, but am I wrong?
Yeah, I think it's very serious, Sean. I mean, what happened is after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the whole nuke freeze movement, all these hundreds of NGOs had to have something to do. They all morphed themselves into gun ban groups. So now what you have is the UN with this conference spending 6 weeks this summer trying to write an international treaty and a world program to basically restrict gun ownership to the governments around the world, making no judgment at all as to whether it's Iran or North Korea or Syria or whether it's some other government, and taking firearms away from civilians worldwide, including the United States. And that's what they're after.
What do you think, John?
Well, I don't think it's going to directly affect the United States because I don't think it's going to get through the Senate. But I think it will affect gun ownership across the world. I think the types of regulations that they're talking about here, whether it be gun registration and licensing, we know that they don't stop crime. And the claim here is that somehow these regulations are going to stop either terrorist groups or rebel groups around the world from getting guns. Individuals aren't supplying these groups with guns. Governments are supplying these groups with guns. You look at FARC in Colombia, it's Venezuela that's giving them the guns. And that's the same across the world. The types of
or the Obama administration through Fast and Furious. I mean,
right. No, exactly. And it's and then all it's going to do is make gun ownership costly and more difficult in these other countries. You know, we have a Senate here in the United States, which provides a bulwark against and protects people from these types of things. But in most other countries, you have parliamentary systems. And so even if, let's say, a government like Canada, with their relatively conservative government right now, won't ratify it, at some point in the future, you're going to get either the Liberal Party in there or the NDP, and they're going to ratify it at that point. And so it's just a question of time for a lot.
In other words, it's going to hang out there and it's going to loom out there for a long time. And then eventually you're saying as governments change and more liberal governments come into power, that they would be more likely to adopt it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I see. My basic concern, Wayne, is that, you know, there's the constitutional aspect of all of this where we would cede our sovereignty over to the United Nations, a body that has been historically anti-Semitic and anti-American.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what the UN is trying to do as far as America is it cheapens our rights, it weakens our sovereignty, and ultimately it enables criminals, thugs, tyrants, and evil regimes all over the world because that's who will have the guns if the UN gets its way. The NRA message has been very clear. Stop this attack on our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Second Amendment, and our American freedom.
Well, why would the administration even think about ceding constitutional, you know, ceding our sovereignty and control over the United Nations anyway?
Because there is a school of thought within the Obama administration that in order to be a citizen of the world, Americans need to take a lesser amount of freedom in order to fit in. That somehow American culture should bend to some worldwide standard. And I'll tell you, that's a critical path down the step of losing our unique American way of life.
Well, this is like the Law of the Seas Treaty, which is, you know, now working its way through Congress right. as well. I mean, we're literally, we'd give up fishing areas sovereign to the United States. We'd give up, you know, for example, some of our rights to oil and minerals, et cetera. And this notion that somehow the United States has an obligation not only to fund people in this country that need some type of financial assistance, but we want to do this worldwide.
Right.
Well, those on the left do.
Well, I mean, the Obama administration, basically you have China, Russia, France, the socialist government that just came in power there, the UK and the US are the five main writers of this treaty. And, you know, the Obama administration, whether it's been a ban on historic semi-automatic rifles, slashing the arms pilots program, putting in judges like Sotomayor and Kagan who oppose the notion that there's an individual right to self-defense, and the judges they've been putting on lower courts. I mean, I knew Obama at the University of Chicago Law School. We both overlapped there and taught there for 4 years, and I was able to talk to him on more than a few occasions. And myself personally, he told me one time that he didn't believe people should be able to own guns. And you know, you don't need to just...
He told you that personally.
Right. Well, the first time I met him, I went up, I introduced myself, and he said, oh, you're the gun guy. And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And he said, I don't believe people should be able to own guns. And I said, I'd heard that he had been helping out with the city of Chicago suit against the gun makers. And I said, well, maybe we can get together sometime for lunch and talk about it. And he just kind of wrinkled his face, turned around and walked away, and that was the end of our first conversation. And most of the time that I tried to talk with him, that's the way our conversations ended. It's just he viewed my position on guns as being evil. And because of that, he just didn't even want to talk with
me. See, this is the thing that kind of scares me about a second Obama term where he doesn't have to worry about reelection. Because he didn't run on this agenda. He ran on a lot of bumper stickers and a lot of slogans. And people like myself and a few others out there, we tried to point out, you know, his radicalism and his radical views and roots and the people that he associated with. And a lot of America got caught up in the hype and the slogans and the yes, we cans and the change, change, change and Obama. And but you're describing somebody that had radical views, views that are contrary to our own Constitution back in the day.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, you can even look. The Washington Post last year ran a story where they had been talking to Sarah Brady, the former head of the Brady campaign. And she related to the Washington Post a conversation that she had had with Obama where he promised her that he was working under the radar to go and impose gun control
regulations.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh.
And, you know, I think a second term where he doesn't have to worry about reelection. I mean, we just saw today in Politico a story where the head of the regulatory oversight group there, Cass Sunstein, is somebody I also know from the University of Chicago Law School, that he's going slow on approving regulations. I think right now they're just stockpiling them until after the election, and as soon as that's over, you'll see a flood of regulations come forward.
Yeah. What about what would be the requirements in the treaty? As I understand, there's some, you know, stamping regulations, micro-stamping regulations that make it, you know, all but inevitable, gun registration, licensing, restrictions, et cetera. Do we know what the nook and cranny of this is all about?
Well, those seem like the most likely ones. They're the ones that have been discussed. I guess we won't know completely until next week what's going to be in there. But one thing we do know is that we've tried those different things in the United States. Those types of regulations have been tried around the world. And all they do is impose costs. They have nothing to do with stopping criminals, for example, from getting guns. I'll just give you an example with gun registration licensing. A country like Canada has had that in effect for handguns since the 1930s. And yet even the government there can only argue that possibly three crimes have been solved as a result of gun registration and licensing. And there's a simple reason why they don't work, and that is, one, in theory, if a crime gun is left at the scene and you can trace it back to the owner there, then you can go and identify the individual there. But the problem is, one, crime guns are virtually never left at the scene. Two, when they are left, they're not owned by the person who committed, the person got it illegally or unregistered. They're not registered to the person that committed the crime. And often when the gun is left there, it's because either the criminal's been seriously wounded or killed. And so you would identify who committed the crime in any case in that situation.
You know, Wayne, I've been reading about the new proposal by the left, which is they'd have these individual ballistic fingerprints, if you will,
right,
on casings after a bullet's been fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another thing to divert resources, divert police resources. I mean, anything but attack the criminal and get him off the street. I mean, the idea that criminals who rape, rob, kill, murder are going to line up to buy numbered bullets is insane. And it just shows you what a lack of common sense these people have. And the American public wants to be able to have their Second Amendment right to own a firearm, and they want criminals that misuse guns taken off the street. And that's what the NRA fights for every day. This UN treaty, though, Sean, I'll tell you this. We have tried and tried to get them to exempt rifles, shotguns, and handguns, and they have refused to do any of that. Right now, this UN treaty covers every rifle, shotgun, handgun. It also covers all ammunition, and the UN refuses to recognize the legitimacy of any firearm in any civilian hands at all.
Right.
I mean, that tells you how crazy and extreme all of this is. All institutionalized within the UN framework, with a permanent funding mechanism attached to it. And we need to take this seriously, because we have worked with the Senate to get 58 senators to sign a letter saying they'll oppose this, and a majority of the House of Representatives. But if Obama wins re-election, you can look to him to try to implement a lot of this through executive order by the back door and say, take me to court. And he's already trying to stack the judicial system and the Supreme Court. So if they get reelected, this is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, I agree. What about this whole notion of, I go back to your book now in its third edition with more information and recently updated information, John. And, whenever you say more guns, less crime, liberals cringe. They can't even believe the title of your book. But in reality, when you look at the data and the facts, the fact that you have an armed population and the ability of people to protect themselves, and we've seen instance after instance, we've discussed it a lot on this program, where in fact that's true. When people have the ability to protect themselves, lives are saved.
Right. Well, I mean, just as you can discourage criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates, the fact that would-be victims might be able to defend themselves also makes it more costly for criminals to go and commit crimes. I mean, police are probably the single most important factor for reducing crime, but I think the police understand themselves. They virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's been committed. And the question is, what do you advise people to do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves? And simply telling them to behave passively is not good advice. I mean, Americans just have to look at what's happened with places that have tried to ban guns in the United States, like Washington, D.C. and Chicago, and seeing the huge increases in murder rates and violent crime rates that occurred after that. Or look at D.C. After 2008, when the gun control ban and, more importantly, the gun lock laws were also struck down. But it's just not here. You look around the world. I can't find a place around the world where a country has banned gun control, or banned gun ownership, and seen murder rates fall. In every place, you find it either goes up by a lot or at least a little bit. But even island nations, which you would think would be kind of the ideal test case, where they can't blame some neighbor next door for supplying guns, because in the United States, the excuse has often been, well, the reason why it didn't work in Chicago or Washington, D.C. is because we haven't banned guns all over the country. People can go to Maryland, Virginia, or other parts of Illinois to get guns. That doesn't explain why it would increase, why we'd have these huge increases in murder rates. But as I say, you can look around the world, even places which would fit those ideal conditions, you still see increases in murder rates and violent crimes.
And it's also among the criminals. There's some belief system that fundamentally, if law-abiding citizens, you know, if they give up their rights to guns, that somehow that's going to prevent those that want to commit crimes or be involved in criminal enterprise to get them. But I thank you both. I got a roll. Wayne LaPierre, John Lott, thank you both for being with us, and we'll keep an eye on this very closely.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
www.nraila.com. My name is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. That was an interview conducted by Sean Hannity with Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association and John Lott, who wrote the book, several books, one in particular, the most famous, More Guns, Less Crime. We'll take your phone calls on this subject if you like, or we can talk about anything you'd like. It doesn't make a difference to me what you'd like to talk about, if you'd like to change the subject and talk about, you know, snakeheads or whatever. I'm up with that, too. But right now, I've got to tell you about our friends at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Saw Bud this week. Bud is into the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine because he sells those great crab steamers and a lot of crabbing equipment. And we've been talking about different things to do and how we can work on next year's issue. But let me tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Of course, they sell bait and tackle, but they have those crab steamers. They have a half bushel, and a bushel and a half stainless steel crab steamers with a basket and a lid for sale at the shop. And it's a great place for information, a great place to hang out. Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. That phone number is 410-360-0573. Take Route 100 all the way to the end where it hits Mountain Road. Head towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Hey, you can join folks like Thomas Fleischman with a big old white perch, John Chim of Brookville with a 36-inch bluefish, Adam Krause, a Hampstead with a 43-inch rock fish out of Liberty Reservoir, Matt Baden of Sunderland with a 21.25-inch largemouth, or Kristen Becker of Baltimore with a 42-inch striped bass. How about Robert Mundy of Hancock with a 47-inch muskellunge, Matthew Newcomb of Pasadena with a 13-inch white perch, Jan Zarfoss of York, Pennsylvania with a 27-inch flounder, or Sandy Willier of Dundalk with a white perch 13 inches from 7-foot knoll. All those folks are in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you can be too. All you have to do is go fishing, catch a citation-sized fish, and you could win the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer, or thousands in fish and tackle from Bill's Outdoors Center, or even a fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim. Now, he's a tagged rockfish swimming in Chesapeake Bay. If you catch him this month, he's worth $20,000. He's got lots of imposters out there, too. They're worth at least $500 apiece. That's the green spaghetti tag hanging out of the belly of a rockfish. If you catch one, don't pull the tag out. Call that number on the tag. You might just have won a $20,000 prize. It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge this year, featuring Diamond Jim and honoring Lefty Cray, Maryland's own Lefty Cray. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Let's go to Jim in Baltimore. Good morning, Jim. 1 minute.
Yes, I just like to remind people some history. During World War II, the French didn't have any guns. They were confiscated. And when Hitler was overrun in France, the first thing the United States did was drop hundreds of thousands of pistols to them.
That's right.
To protect themselves. They were called Liberator pistols.
I remember those, yeah. They were very simple, very cheap, but they sure worked.
Right, but the government felt need to drop those pistols, the U.S. government, so they could protect themselves.
That's correct.
And that's basically what they want to do to us, take our guns away from us so we have nothing to protect ourselves with.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Joe and Glen Burnie quickly, Joe.
Yes. You said the fellows out in Montana and another state have suggested legislation that...
Introduced legislation. The what?
No funding would go to the UN.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what it should be.
Well, I agree with you.
You know, and the problem in Maryland and the rest of the country is these politicians who are elected, they represent the party that they're in and not the people that elect them.
Thank you, Joe. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Yes, sir. You are absolutely right. And there goes Joe. Folks, I don't care if you're a Democrat, independent, libertarian, Green Party, communist. Well, that's up to you. Socialist, that's up to you. But I got to tell you, if you're a gun owner, if you like to hunt, if you like to shoot, this is a threat, no question about it. The Senate is the only arm of our government that can stop it, and you can do something about it. You can. Contact your senator. I'm not sure what good it'll do. Senator Mikulski and Senator Cardin, they probably won't go our way on this. But you can call them, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Tell them to vote against the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty, the United Nations ATT. Well, there's the music. We'll be back with more of the Outdoors and Radio Show next hour. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. If we got your blood pressure up and you want to